a group of elderly men was sitting around a nursing home talking about their favorite topic, death. Each one of them had an idea on the perfect way to make an exit from the world. The 70-year-old man said, "I want to go in a quick, dramatic way like a plane crash." The 80-year-old said, "I want to die by drowning, swallowed up by the ocean." The 95-year-old man thought for a moment and said, "I want to be shot by a jealous husband." Meanwhile, down the hall was a group of women. They were chatting about remembering things. The first woman said, "I go to the refrigerator and I forget what I need there." The second one said, "That's nothing. Lately, I'm on the stairs. I can't remember if I'm going out for something and coming back down." The third woman laughed at the other two and said, "Well, I guess I'm lucky. I don't have any problem with my memory at all. Knock wood. Come in." Someone once said to me, "I knew I was getting older when I looked at this beautiful young woman and wondered if her mom was single." A friend of mine saw a friend she hadn't seen for a while, and the friend looked at her and gasped and said, "My God, you look good for someone I haven't seen for a while." Toward the end of his time here on the planet, Picasso said, "I'm not getting older, I'm getting riper." What a great way to think of it. Ripe. How many people here think of themselves as ripe? You know, the older the fruit, the sweeter the fruit. Old is shriveled and dry. But getting riper is getting more. The biggest lie, I think, is that one's spiritual and or creative powers diminish with age. But our creativity only diminishes by not using it. That's all. It's not about getting older. It's about usage. For example, did you know that George Burns was 80 when he won his Oscar? 80. Golda Meir was a young girl of 71 when she became Prime Minister of Israel. Ben Franklin helped frame the Constitution at 81. I don't know if you know, the other day Tom DeLay said that God wrote it. That would have been news to James Madison and the 54 representatives who sat down to write it. Is that, we thought we wrote it. Michelangelo was 71 when he painted the Sistine Chapel. 71! He was 83 when he created that really beautiful Pietà. George Abbott co-directed the Broadway revival of Damn Yankees when he was 107. Grandma Moses didn't even start painting until she was 80. She did 1,500 paintings, and a quarter of them were done after she was 100 years old. What's your excuse?
"I can't do it. I'm too old."
I love what George Burns said after he won the Oscar. He said, "You can't help getting older, but you don't have to get old." You don't have to get old. Old is a consciousness. And again, that's what our summer retreat is about. It's about reclaiming the youth and the passion and the joy of who we are. We've been listening way too much to the culture. It seems to be getting younger and younger and younger. I mean, here, sometimes you're considered to be old at 30. In L.A., like 19. 19? Oh, my God. Get to a home. You know, there's so many examples of vibrant and creative lives that were lived fully and joyfully regardless of the age of the person. I just mentioned a few. Moses is a classic example that we have from Scripture of the power of God within us that is totally ageless. Moses was quite along in years when he was called by Spirit to lead the Hebrew people from Egypt into Canaan. Try to imagine your own life at 70. You're relaxing, hanging out on the hill, just looking at the sheep and meditating, letting your mind wander. And God calls you from a burning bush to go and move thousands of people by foot from Israel to Israel from Egypt. Now you're a AAA tour guide. Without a bus, without Denny's to stop at, just walk until you get there. But first, you got to convince Pharaoh to let all of his free labor go. On top of which, you have a stutter, and it takes you forever to get one sentence out. God, me? You talking to me? I'm 70. I'm old. I can't do this. When Moses asked God, "Well, who are you? Tell me your name. Who am I going to say sent me?" God replied, "I am that I am. Tell you, I am sent you." In metaphysical spiritual understanding, we call this the I am presence of God within each and every one of us. I am is when you say God in me is, and then how do you complete this? God in me is wholeness. God in me is abundant good. God in me is ready and open for a loving relationship. Or God in me is too old to do anything. God in me can't find a lover or a partner or a mate in New York City. Boy, is that limiting God. Moses was having what we call a spiritual awakening or a peak experience when he was talking to the burning bush. He was simply ablaze in his own consciousness. But the fearful ego, while seeing all of this wonderful God energy around, the fearful ego was trying to argue with it. I can't talk well. I have a family. These sheep need tending. I'm retired now. I'm too old. Any of that sound familiar? Yeah, we have excuses. There was no excuse the Lord of his being would accept for Moses not to do the work that he came to the planet to do, 70 years of age or not. God didn't care about numbers. There's no excuse for anyone, regardless of our age, young or old, no excuse not to do what we came here expressly to do. Our divine plan, our divine path has been set by us before we got here. We knew we had something to do before arriving. But we keep using fear as an excuse not to do and to have all the wonderful good that was promised us. We have to ignore the naysayers who tell you that you're too old to do whatever. Just because they're afraid doesn't mean that you have to join their club, does it? No. That's why Jesus said, don't cast your pearls before swine. Don't share your deepest holy desires with people who are afraid of their holy and deepest desires. They just want to prove that they're right. That it's right to be afraid, to not have the good. Don't put yourself out there and get hurt, they say. Don't open yourself up to those who are jealous of your determination to have all the good of God that you desire to have. Keep your desires as sacred and holy and share only with people that you know will honor your truth. Your prayer partner or chaplain here or spiritual counseling. Your very best friend who loves and supports you 100%. If we have the desire to do anything, it is a holy and divine and sacred calling by God, your Christ within, no matter how old you are. It keeps coming up because you haven't accepted it yet. That's all. Spirit is saying, I got this for you. When are you going to take it? We push it back down. And we feel depression and anxiety. The weird thing is we keep arguing with God when God says, look what I got for you. You say, no, I can't. I'm too old, God. You should have given it to me 50 years ago. God said, I tried. You wouldn't take it then. We keep telling, I can't have my good. I didn't deserve it. I haven't earned it. I have a knee now. I got to have it replaced. Maybe afterwards. I need a cup of coffee. Whatever excuse we have for not having our good is not good enough. So you have a little arthritis in your knee, big deal. Wrap it up and go. Keep going. Keep moving. God, I can't. I haven't finished watching Downton Abbey yet. After Downton Abbey, we'll take a look. I don't know about you, but I've never won an argument with God, ever. Ever. And I had such great arguments, too. Great excuses for not having the good. We have to remember that we wouldn't have a desire, whether you're 8 or 88, if the desire didn't come from God within. The desire did not originate with you. Your desire to sing didn't begin with you, it began with God, and the divine gift has to express. It has to. If it doesn't, we're dying inside. And you feel it, you know it. So why do I feel depressed? Why do I feel sad all the time? Because you're not letting God express this wonderful gift that God had waiting for you from the very beginning. Emily Cady, in our Unity textbook that Britt just mentioned, Lessons in Truth, called desire God tapping on the door of your subconscious. Tap, 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 tap. Always tapping. Stop doing that, God, you're making me crazy. Well, answer the door and stop being crazy. Listen to what God has for you and move forward as if it's going to happen, because it will and is coming forth in your life. God put this in you. God knows how to work it. You don't. Now, we know that God isn't a person, that God is spirit, and we know that God doesn't get mad at us. The Bible said God got mad at Moses for questioning him. Of course, we know God doesn't have a personality like that. God doesn't get passive-aggressive. God doesn't get pissy. God doesn't get huffy. You do. I do. I get huffy. Huffy is not a divine quality of being. So if you get huffy, that's not God, that's you. But when the ego is ignoring or making up excuses for not letting the creative forces flow, then we end up huffy and pissy and the other dwarves. We're not letting that divine flow get forth, so we are finding ourselves getting ill or depressed or anxious or sad or mad at the world all the time, or having prosperity challenges, creating inharmonious relationship with the people that you love the most. By not accepting the good, we are in effect fighting God over and over and over again. We can't do that and have a happy life. A number of years ago, during a meditation on Moses and who he was for a talk that I was writing about Moses, it was revealed to me that Moses kept refusing to follow God because his comfort zone felt like it was being invaded. He said, I'm comfortable here. You can't move me out of this. I have a good life now. What are you doing to me? We're fine as long as we feel comfortable and things are calm and everything is the same as it was yesterday and the day before. But when we have to step out on faith during times of challenge and uncertainty and know that God is in charge regardless of the appearance on the outer, then we end up like Moses. Like, God, why are you doing this? Why are you moving me into this area? I'm afraid of what's going to happen. We feel threatened by our security seems to be shattering. We say, I don't know, God, what if I fail? What if you fail? Me? Then where will I be? Well, you know, we have a belief in unity. There's no such thing as failure. It's simply a lesson along the path to point out where the true good in our lives is. If we are certain that our desires come from God, then how could we ever fail ultimately? We can't. With God, all things are possible. All things. Well, somebody knows that. How wonderful. Thank you. We have to know that for our lives to work. God knows how to do your life. The divine intelligence within you has the whole picture. You don't. I have that much. We have to let go and let God do it. Now, some people might think that we because we're selling our office condo, and we're very close to two terms now. It should be another few days, and we'll be all, yay, all set to move on. But some people are in the mindset that we have failed because we're selling our office condo. We've had it for over a year now. And we just have determined this is not working for us. It's just draining of all the energy that we could be putting somewhere else. Were we a failure? No, we affirmed it, we prayed it, we created it and brought it forth, whether or not that was ultimately the best thing for us. And there were signs along the way that perhaps they weren't, that our gut kind of told us, that might not be the right thing. But you know what happens when you pray and affirm something, it comes forth. You know, the truth is you can pray and affirm in another direction and then let it go. So don't never be afraid of going for something and saying, well, guess what? That was not exactly it. Now we move forward to what is ours now. And though we may be feeling a little bit of a financial strain at the moment, that's part of the birthing process that we're going through. So know that as we're going through this process, we are letting go and letting the creative energy of God take hold. Even though right now it's like, oh, keep breathing. It's fine. It's good. It's good. I'm giving birth to our new good, but that's part of the process sometimes. Sometimes birth is not pretty, but the result is fantastic and wonderful. And Unity of New York is thriving and becoming again more of who and what we are, realizing this is who we are over here, not quite this. It was a wonderful experiment. We learned a lot from it. Now we move forward to accept all the good that God is. So keep waiting for God to show up, and God eventually does show up in the way we need God to. This happened for a little boy in Italy years and years ago. His name was Antonio. He loved music. It was all he thought about, all he dreamed about all day long. But unfortunately, everybody told him when he sang, he sounded like a squeaky hinge. So shut up. Oh, you're throwing us all off. You ever hear that? Anybody ever hear that? Mild happy birthday, if you will. It really hurt his feelings because he was passionate for music. Two of his friends invited him to come with them one day as they went to the town square to one sang and the other one played the violin. An elderly man came up to them while they were performing and listened for a while, and then he dropped a gold coin in their hat. The two young musicians were thrilled that Amati, the greatest violin maker of the world, liked their music. They were beyond thrilled. Antonio had never heard of him. But like a bolt of lightning, he got this idea, this wonderful divine idea. And the next day, he went to the violin maker's house and showed him a whittling that he made of a flute and one of a bird that he had carved. Antonio said, look at these, and I want you to tell me if you think that I have talent to make a violin. Amati was very curious. He said, why do you want to make violins? And the boy began crying. He just burst into tears. He said, because I love music and I sing like a rusty door hinge. And I want to make music come alive. It's my dream. Amati told him, the thing that matters most is the song in your heart. There are many ways to make music. You are a whittler, but your song will be as noble as anyone's. Antonio studied with Amati for many years, watching, listening, asking questions, learning how all 70 parts of the violin work together. Only after many, many years with Amati as an apprentice did the great man allow Antonio Stradivarius to finally make his own violin. Every Stradivarius known is a masterpiece, is a work of art. Say Stradivarius, oh my, even today, oh my gosh. Why is that? Because of the love and the joy that went into making every single violin. He loved music. He didn't give up his dream. He hung on for years. He knew his divine calling that came to him in a flash, and he kept it up year after year after year. And it manifested because of zeal, enthusiasm, gratitude, and love. Now, did his music look exactly like he thought it was going to? Not at all. Not at all. But as he remained open to his music, it was revealed to him. And today, you know his name. You don't know his master's name. Amati, who? Maybe if you're an expert in music, yeah. But everybody knows Stradivarius. Love is the difference between genius and mere talent. If we love something with a palpable passion, we infuse it with God energy, no matter what age we are. I saw a 95-year-old minister in Florida one day. It took her about a half an hour to get from her seat to the lectern. She walked up, she was bent over. She grabbed onto the lectern. She straightened up. All of a sudden, this God energy flew out of her. Like, oh, God. From the seat to the lectern, she had in her mind, old lady. When she was here, she was a child of God, doing what she came to do. She was a psychic. So in the middle of her lecture, she looked at me and she said, "You." I said, "Oh, dear God." She said, "You have three guides on the other side looking after you, and you have a lavender aura." I said, "Dear God." And then she went back to what she was talking about. I was like, I said to my friend, "What is a lavender aura?" This is why I have an idea, but I'll ask somebody. Apparently it means spiritual growth. I said, "Oh, good, that's nice to know too." But age has nothing to do with it. Your passion, your zeal, what you want is what it's all about. In his 90s, Pablo Casals, the great cellist, said, "As long as one can love, then one is young forever." At 90, still painting with great vitality, Marc Chagall said, "Only love is interesting. And I am only in contact with things that revolve around love. Anything else, I'm letting go of." That's a great thing with getting older, aging, becoming riper. You begin to let go of what's not important. I love being in my 50s. Is that important? You let it go. It just is not important. We all have our own music to make, our own art to create in our own unique and holy way. Yours is totally different than anybody else's in the world, but your love infusion will make it unique and make it holy. And by that, you're serving the planet with your love and your joy. And it doesn't matter how old you are. The power of God within you has no age whatsoever. The Christ being that you are is eternal, vibrant, life-filled, and always ready to express when you are ready, open, and receptive to have the good. But there's the catch right there. Are you open and receptive to it? Are you willing to say yes? To be willing, as the guy told Jesus. Are you willing to have a wonderful life? Are you willing, no matter how old you are, how young you are, to say yes to God? Okay, thank you. Yes. Are you willing to take that step of faith and know that God is there, that there really is no risk at all when you risk letting God do the work? Like Moses did. You know, some people thought Moses was crazy, but he was born a basket case. I've been waiting so long to use that line, I can't tell you. Great line. Speaking of Moses, Grandma Moses, transition, took up painting at 76. Why? Because her arthritis made her give up embroidery. She said, "I can't do this." And she didn't say, I'm just going to give everything up. She said, "What can I do? I got to use my creativity somehow." After 78, she had over, listen to this, after she was 78, she had over 200 exhibitions. 200. And as I mentioned, she painted well into her hundreds. Age is an illusion. It's just a belief. We're the ones keeping the creative juices from flowing. That's what Picasso meant. The creative juices make you ripe, make you juicy. I love that term, juicy. How juicy are you? And we are the center of the divine artist, as many of you know who've been coming for a while. And it drives me crazy when people come up to me like, "I'm not an artist. I may be in the wrong place." Of course you're an artist. Art just means creation, creator. Art means something that you've made. You're making something every day. So yes, you're a divine artist. Are you infusing that with love and joy and creativity and passion? Then you are truly a divine artist. The Creator created you. Therefore, you have to create as God, your Creator, has created and always is creating through you. You are divinely creative, and to live a full life, you've got to create something. You just cannot exist. You've got to create the life you want. What we need to do is quit listening to small-minded, fear-filled family and friends who want to keep you unhappy and frustrated and afraid and as miserable as they are. Because they're afraid of their power. They're afraid of their creativity. They're afraid of joy. Stop it. Stop being afraid. Let them be afraid if they want to, but you have to move on and do what you came to the planet to do. Tell them, I love you dearly, but bug off. Until you support me 100%, I am limiting my contact. I have to do that. To be the child of God that I came to be, I have to limit myself from exposure to people who are telling me something different, telling me a lie. As a child of God, I will not accept limitation in my life anymore. As a child of God, I will not accept limitation in my life anymore. Breathe that in. Someone once wrote, growing old is no more than a bad habit, which a busy person has no time for. We're all aging, but we don't have to grow old. Metaphysically, Moses is you, is me. Nothing can stop us from doing what we need to do. Seas will part when you say, look out, I'm coming through. Governments are powerless over you. Other people cannot stop the power of divine love, passion, and success. It just can't. It took Moses a few years to get where he was going, about 40 of them actually. But so what? You keep going. You're going to get there eventually. Like Stradivarius, if you want to express the creativity power, the power of joy, of peace, of radiant wholeness, of abundant good, you've got to be willing to be in the race for the long run. Always amuses me when people move here, they come up to me and say, I'm giving New York 9 months. To do what, exactly? I'm giving my acting career a full year. Is that right? Nice to meet you. Your career is going to take as long as it takes. It's about the journey. How fun is the journey you're on? Are you an artist in New York? Put your hand up. How fun is that? Isn't it fun? Would you want any other life? Did anybody say yes? How fun is this? You get to live in New York City and create. Oh my God. If you're not a success in your own eyes, who cares what other people think? If you're not a success in your own eyes, you may be leaving out enthusiasm and joy and gratitude and being like the little kid that you've got to be. Say, I can't wait to see what God has waiting for me tomorrow, this afternoon, brunch. If you're not excited about it, who's going to be excited? Jump in and let the age thing go. It's an illusion. Especially if you're an artist, my God, every age is wonderful. Every age is wonderful anyway. Accept it, revel in it, enjoy it. Be the creative being that you are meant to be. I love the letter to Dear Abby years ago. The writer said, I want to go to medical school, but I'll be 50 when I graduate. Her response was, how old will you be if you don't go to medical school and don't graduate? You're going to be here anyway, you might as well do it. Right? Years ago, I took a unity group, some of our members, to metaphysical England, mystical England trip. How many people are here that were on that one? Annie? Anybody else? A few of us. There were like 25 of us. It was great. On the day we were in Glastonbury, the legendary home of King Arthur and the Holy Grail, we were finishing the trip with a climb up Glastonbury tour, which is this huge, huge hill. It's like a little mountain is what it is. And there's an incredible view at the very top when you get there. Our guide warned us the climb up the hill was only for those in really good physical shape. If you were not in this wonderful shape, stay in the bus, relax, have a cup of coffee. We'll be back in about an hour. Now, it takes a while to climb it up, and it's, again, a very steep hill. And even those of us who worked out, about halfway up, you really began to feel it in your legs. You felt it in your lungs. By the time we reached the top, it was like climbing Mount Everest. It was really quite a struggle to get there. But it was incredibly beautiful and so worth the climb to get there. Well, imagine our surprise when, after a time, a member of our group we thought was staying behind on the bus joined us at the top. We were surprised because this incredible woman was 87 years young. 87, going up Mount Everest-ish. I would have been less shocked if I saw Jesus coming over the ridge, quite frankly. Okay. And I later asked her about it. I said, "What were you doing?" She said she was. We were touring the Abbey earlier, Glastonbury Abbey, with the ruins of the church that Henry VIII destroyed. And she was feeling weak, and she was feeling very, very drained of energy. She sat down to pray, and she said, "God, give me the strength." She just breathed in, and for after about a minute in the silence, she said, "I felt like I had 8 hours of sleep." Just from that 1 minute of being in the silence with the realization of God. So she said, "I'm going to climb the hill." She climbed that hill using the affirmation, "I can do all things through the Christ within me." Every step of the way, she affirmed this great truth over and over and over again. "I can do all things through the Christ within me," at 87. Wow. She was really and truly an inspiration to every one of us on that trip. She was living proof that age is a relative reality. That age is simply a number that has no meaning in and of itself. That age truly does not exist in God's mind. God doesn't know age. God only knows no energy when it feels the lack of God within. God doesn't see anything but a healthy, light-filled, powerful, beautiful creation with no limits whatsoever at all. When God beholds you, God only sees itself, powerful and eternal. So why are we declaring that age is a determining factor in our good showing up or not showing up in our lives? Science says, I read this a couple of years ago, it was just astonishing. Science says that the body shouldn't even begin to show signs of aging till 114. 114, it shouldn't even begin to start breaking down. Wow. I know 14-year-olds who are breaking down. 30-year-olds going, "Oh, God, I got to get up." It's like, stop that. Jesus wanted to know, do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed? It's up to you. I didn't ask. He didn't say, "You aren't on Medicare, are you?" Because after 70, God just can't do that much for you, you know. "Oh, I didn't know you were that old. Sorry." Years ago, a 102-year-old man was asked on the radio show how he got to be 102. He replied that his philosophy has always been, "I have two choices when I get out of bed. I can be happy or I can be unhappy." He said, "I always choose to be happy." And there he was at 102, being happy, letting that happiness, that joy, that energy move him forward. Right now, you have a choice. In your life, you can choose to be the happy, eternal, powerful child of God that God created you as, or not. And if you are you going to listen to God and move forward with the ideas that God gives you? Or are you going to believe the idea that now that you're 62, who would want you? Too many of us believe that to be the truth, and it's settling into our consciousness in this country. We've got to rise above that and know that number is an illusion. It's not the reality of it. If you're in your 20s or your 30s right now, begin to know the truth that nothing is keeping you from experiencing all the good that God has, no matter what your number on the birth certificate says. How many people here are in their 20s and 30s? Put your hands up. Okay, I'm going to share something with you, the rest of us on this side of that number. No. And I really want you to get this. You're going to be 50 faster than you realize. Oh, my God. If you're 25 in 3 years, you're going to be 52. That's just the way it works. So set your consciousness now at 20, 30, 40 to say, number, the age means nothing. It means nothing. Because life here goes fast. It's fast. So embrace it, enjoy it, revel in it, and enjoy your time here. The number is nothing. Henry Ford was asked about how he felt about getting older. He said, anyone who stops learning is old. Whether 20 or 80, he said, anyone who keeps learning stays young. The greatest thing you can do in life is to keep your mind young, open, receptive, excited, curious. The greatest thing we can do is to know the truth, that you have a power within you and the enthusiasm and the joy and the passion within you to do anything. Anything. I don't care how old you are. It doesn't matter. You have the power to be anything you desire, the power to bring forth healing, abundant good, success, and a joyful and fun life. It's all within you right now. It's not out there. God may guide you where to go out there to realize that, but it's all here right now. It's just waiting for you to say yes to it, not it's too late, or I'm too old to have joy or success or a wonderful hot mate. All of God's people said amen. Hallelujah. I have noticed that some people who complain about not having a mate often don't take care of themselves in a way that might reveal to the planet. How's that for unity words? That might not reveal an inner desire. Are you taking care of yourself? Are you exercising this body? Because if you don't use it, it begins to know that. Are you grooming yourself? Are you smiling? Are you lifted in joy? It doesn't matter how old you are, because you'll be so hot and desirable at 98 if you just stand up straight and smile and say, I am hot. I am hot. Affirm that with me. I love it. I am hot. This wool shirt. If you believe it, you'll draw to yourself hot God energy. That's the truth. Close your eyes. Breathe in your hotness, your joy, your love, your enthusiasm, your passion. Awaken the Christ spirit that you are. Feel it. What is God guiding you to do today to be the eternally young, beautiful, joy-filled being that you are? First thing to do is let go of fear, let go of anxiety, because the plan that you came here with is so exciting and so joyful. Breathe in the power of divine life, the power of passion and renewal. Breathe it in and let go of anything that is not of God. Feel the power of God within you. Know, I am ageless in God. I am ageless in God. Affirm that with me. I am ageless in God. Breathe in. Affirm it again. I am ageless in God. Breathe in one more time. And now quietly in your heart, ageless in God. Let God reveal that. If that holy desire is there, you too can direct the Broadway show at 107. paint at 97, build a house at 98, become a doctor at any age you like. What is the picture God is giving you? Is rising up from your consciousness. What is God saying? This is your life. When you're centered in the unshakable truth of God, a minor thing like aging becomes another opportunity to apply everything that we know about the possibility of all good pouring forth. Take another breath. Feel the power of God at work in your body. Feel the power, the warmth, the joy of God, the life of God moving in there, filling you with strength and renewed energy. Keeping centered in this truth, we sing our way into our meditation time with, I am so blessed for all that I have, all that I am, and all that God is. No, I am a powerful creation of God. I am a healthy and strong creation of God. I'm eternally alive, creation of spirit. I always have been. Time a little quieter for all that God is. So blessed, I am so blessed, I am so grateful for all that God is. I am so blessed, I am so blessed, I am so grateful. Feel the truth of that. I am so blessed. Don't argue, don't fight, just let go into the wonderful divine blessings you have always. But you are. You are a divine blessing. And as you let go and let God move that wonderful creative energy through you, you become a blessing to the whole planet. You're proving the truth. I am here by divine appointment to create a wonderful life, to love, to live, to laugh, to be the joy of God, to be the light of God, to be God here on the planet. Breathe in. And let go. As you sit there in the quiet, in the presence of spirit, you know there is no reality to a number. It's a creation of our consciousness here on the planet. But it is not the truth of you. I am ageless, eternal, perfect, pure being of light and love. That's all I am. And I have the power of God to move through me while I'm here on this planet to do what I came to do, to be who I am, to create a wonderful, holy, exciting life. No matter what your age is, breathe
into this body temple and know that it is eternally alive, young, filled with God. My holy body is filled with power. Breathe that truth in. My holy body is filled with power. Let it take hold in every cell, every tissue, every atom of who and what you are. Breathe the truth into your mind. My divine mind is filled with excitement and ideas for success. My divine mind is filled with excitement and new ideas for success. Let that take hold. Breathe in and know my days are filled with divine and holy purpose. I am a creative being of God. My days are filled with holy purpose. I am a divine creation of God. I am guided perfectly by Spirit to do what I need to do for my life to work. There truly is only one power, one presence, the eternal love of God. In the quiet of our being, just for a few moments, rest in that truth. Know that God is here. Breathe in and let go.